contradiction in itself, I'm not quite sure. We should discuss it. And as I'm not sure, and perhaps you are also not too sure whether there's something like a free standard, we have a small group of experts for this theme. It's to my right, it's Tineke Egede from Delft. She wrote some wonderful papers on standardization and worked with eminent groups like the Java definitions. And I'm quite sure and quite positive that she will give us some introduction to that field. The next one is Klaus Birkenbiel. He is from the GMD, former GMD, now Fraunhofer Gesellschaft in Bonn, St. Augustine. It's easily to be seen that we are among the elder generation, being very long in this field. Klaus Birkenbiel is the German representative for the World Wide Web Consortium and is also chairman and, of the German chapter of the Internet Society. And he was, I thought this wonderful, he was a member of the DIN-Kommission Informationsgesellschaft, which shows something about the idea of standardization. Otherwise, we simply would drop over to an information society, but not if DIN corrects it and says what is correctly information society and what is not. Probably the group, as the group has ended in 2001, it's probably now the Commission on Wissensgesellschaft, Knowledge Society. I don't know, but we must not deepen that. It's okay. And third one is Frank Steimke. He is from the Ministry of Finances in Bremen. And I'm very glad to say that he was among my students in Bremen. And I'm very, very happy to meet him, especially in such a high position. Frank Steimke is responsible for OSCI, the Online Services Computer Interface, which is an XML-related, is that true? You will say that XML-related standard for the interchange between governmental agencies and registration, personal registration. But it is useful for many other purposes. It's a start of a standard exchange format. And it's different from other attitudes or other ideas in this field, which never came up. It's really working. This is something very, very, very rare in that field, standards that work. So I want to make a short introduction to standards, just to say something about the field, and then the other colleagues will go into much more detail. So, standards. The most beautiful picture I can imagine about standards is a very early one from the Arsenal in Venice, still a military area of the city of Venice, and the Arsenal had already in the 14th century a shipbuilding yard. Venice was, of course, a power to the sea, to the Adria. And they started standardization in a very profitable way for Venice. They had an assembly line of ships, and it's easily to be seen here in this strictly secret picture of the time. They built ships, warships, in series in an assembly line, and it was highly exchangeable. And this was one of the advantages of this standardization. Standardization usually, of course, is either to make easier communications or to exchange parts where necessary. I think this is, in this sense, it's a very early example of standardization in the public field, but especially it's in the military field, of course. I jumped to the 19th century, where one of the most important standardizations in the whole industrial history was made, standardization of screws. Screws were up to 1840, around 1840, built in a very individual fashion. Every screw had a counterpart, and that fit, but nothing else fit. And this, of course, prevented industrial revolution in a way. Whitworth was the hero of that time. He invented the Whitworth screw, which is or Whitworth thread, which was the definition, a very special definition of screws in the whole world. It changed in the late 19th century when the metric system took over in the central part of Europe and a different type of screw was invented. And those of you who ever drove a Volvo know quite well that there are differences. The central part of the Volvo was built in with metric screws and the motor with Whitworth screws, which was a funny experience if you try to mix that. Nowadays everything is metric, but this is a recent development in the 1980s, the general use of metric system. A very famous example of standardization is also a military one, the invention of Samuel Colt. Colt, who gave name to a class of firearms, he invented a revolver with a few exchangeable parts, and this was the basis for the defeat of the Red Indians in the U.S. Another type of for the idea to push the frontier to the West was the invention. Oh, this is wrong. I missed the picture. I'm sorry. How comes? There it is. Another one was the invention of the railway tracks, slightly earlier, 1825 in England. The railway tracks, which are necessary as a standard, otherwise you cannot make a longer line. You have to do that, especially on the transborder traffic. It was necessary to have standard tracks. And the standard track of 1435 millimeter, I do not know the British measure, which is certainly an imperial inch which or something like that with a better numbering in the metric systems, is 1 meter 43.5 as the classical measure. And I was recently told the story that the Russian Empire, which had a different railway track, had it by accident, because the Tsar sent a specialist to England to measure the railway track, and he measured not the inside the outside distance as it is usual, but the inside distance of the rails, and therefore Russia got a different track width for many years. Probably a different story. Spain also had a different track width. And there's also, some of you might be aware of that, there's also the story that this British railway tracks goes back to the Roman carriages. So maybe that our railway is depending on the Roman limes and the Roman transportation system. I do not know it exactly. Other standards which are to the benefit of all is something like TCP/IP. And in case you do not recognize immediately what is pictured here, you may see it a little bit more clear. And then as you saw the former picture, you see there are parts of the world which were not part of a real thick lines in the TCP/IP field. There's simply a forgotten continent and some other large areas which were not as dominant in this field as others are. But it is standardized, and therefore, of course, the open net that we are used now to the internet is only possible on the basis of fixed standards. And strange enough, it's a story that other standards like OSI did not succeed, at least not very much, while this very low-level standard of TCP/IP was very successful. Another question we should talk about is what is it really with de facto standards, standards which were not formally adopted? Are they better than nothing, or are they a monopoly strategy? Well, the IBM, so-called IBM PC, was originally Intel plus Microsoft, and nowadays it's called Wintel, for apparent reasons, but I should say standards may be also the basis for other things. It's not necessary that a certain standard may not develop, perhaps not in the way that some of the players thought about it. And now there are new standards which are gaining becoming more important. SGML, which was founded in 65, 64, is now going to XML, and XML is really becoming a large standard in many aspects, especially in database exchange. So we have an open field of many interesting questions in this field of standardization, and I hope that we'll find different questions to confirm or to struggle about. So may I give it to Tineke.